Well, against a challenging operating environment, the JSE has managed to grow its interim revenue by 22%, and that appears to be the group's lucky number, with headline earnings and net profit after tax increasing by similar margins. But it also meant that expenses climbed by 20% over the period. Company CEO Leila Faree joins us now. Thanks so much, Leila, for your time this evening. So we've just had David Munro talk about flows into money market accounts, propping up cash flows on their end as investors become risk averse, but it's been a period of volatility and sentiment all over the place, really. The JSE seeing record trading volumes as a result. How are you digesting the half year that was?
Alicia, we are really pleased with the results. We feel that they indicate that we are able to withstand the dynamics of the crisis. We very much recognize the challenging macro backdrop. The JSE is a countercyclical and resilient organization. We have volatility in our DNA, and this has translated into quality earnings. We've maintained a strong cash position. Balance sheets really matter in a time of crisis, and this is an important factor for investors.
That being said, Leila, is it unnerving that, you know, you've got trading records being hit not because of confidence but because of sheer uncertainty? Or do you chalk it down to that being the way of the markets and it in your DNA?
Absolutely. Volatility is very much a driver of our business markets. It's really important during a crisis that markets remain open and resilient, that price formation is enabled, and for every person selling a stock, you have someone buying. So that sort of volatility is a natural feature in our markets, and it's something on which capital markets thrive.
Leila, I ask about it being unnerving because adding to the list of companies that's delisting from the JSE into properties today, and surely that's where you will start feeling the impact as the universe narrows, not just from a company perspective, but for investors widely speaking.
Well, if we look at where we are year to date, our top 40 is up on last year. And that indicates that investors have been cushioned. So while there is a contracting IPO market, and while there are companies delisting, our market cap is increasing. And to a large extent, that is reflective of the types of companies that we see thriving on our markets. We've been sheltered by the fact that we have a number of important tech companies which are linked to global markets. Those companies are not connected directly to the dynamics of the real market. We also have a number of resource companies which have enjoyed an uptick. Gold was trading at $2,000 a fine ounce last night. And so those aspects have effectively cushioned and protected our local investors on the capital markets.
Nevertheless, what is your listing pipeline looking like at this stage? Or is the focus now on capital raising activity, rights issues, corporate actions as a result of landscapes shifting very quickly?
The focus is very much either on the bond market or on capital raises, rights issues, corporate actions. We've had 19 secondary capital raises since the lockdown, and we expect that to continue. There's also an uptick in the interest in investing in green bonds and sustainable bonds. And that's a very exciting development in the market. And also an uptick in the number of structured and exotic products which are listed on the exchange.
What are you gauging in terms of investor interest in products like that right now, especially at a time, Leila, where companies across the board have had to do an about turn on dividends?
There is an uptick in hedging activity. Obviously, these about turns on dividends are dislocating for certain derivative products, but there is an uptick in hedging activity. There's an uptick in the bond market. And we've also seen in the month of July an increase in trading volumes by over 20%. Normally, the Northern Hemisphere is on holiday and trading volumes contract. The COVID crisis has obviously caused many traders to remain at home. And so those trading volatilities on a global basis basis have grown year on year, which is surprising and unexpected to many people.
Yeah. Along with all of this, Leila, expenses have increased in tandem. That's up 20%. And you highlight the fact that it's as a result of non-recurring costs that you've incurred over this period. How much of a handle do you have on that? Or is that more so the picture looking forward? Because we know that you have making hefty investments into the IT space, for example. And I guess that now proving its worth with your systems able to handle the kind of trading volumes it has over this period without any system downtime.
Absolutely. Our margin is accretive, i.e. our revenue has grown faster than our costs. Our revenue increase was expected in our recurring lines, and that is as a result of our ongoing investment into technology. Technology has made us resilient. We processed the highest volumes in the history of the JSE during the month of March. Specifically on the 24th of March, we saw a 750% increase in the number of circuit breakers, and our staff were able to manage that from the comfort of their homes. So not only is our tech investment robust, our investment in staff has proven to be robust. And I'm very grateful to the tremendous work that our staff have done in keeping the markets up and running. And so those things are reflected in our costs. We did have one-off costs that were related to COVID related costs.
Okay. And outlook, Leila, moving forward for the next half?
Well, as I said earlier, the month of July has given us a surprising uptick, more than 20% up year on year. While we can't forecast, we can say that the dynamics of the market will be very definitely driven by the potential of a second wave of lockdown, an uptick in epidemiological numbers. It will be driven by the ability of our government and governments generally to deploy fiscal stimulus to growth-generating initiatives. And it'll also be driven by the risk on sentiment and the structurally low growth in the international markets, which could potentially start to drive flows into the emerging markets.
Leila, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, the JSE's CEO, Leila Faree.